We've been talking all month about prayer, and we've framed it in terms of the inner voice. We talked about the still small voice that Scripture talks about, and how we want to do that, how we want to listen for that still small voice. We've talked about how to discern if it's the still small voice or the ego. We've talked about ways that you can get yourself ready to listen for the still small voice. We talked about how you can release anything that might be standing in the way of hearing that still small voice. And today we want to take it a step further and think about it in terms of using that still small voice to guide us through life. So guided by Spirit. I'd like to share with you something that I think is beautiful. Some years back, I went to a conference, and Wayne Muller, it says he is an ordained minister and a therapist, a graduate of Harvard Divinity School, and the founder of Bread for the Journey. He was a powerful speaker. You can always tell when I really enjoy someone who is a speaker and does a good job by his books. So I came away with a couple of them. This one is one, Learning to Pray. And he starts out with a prelude that I think is lovely. I hope you like it too. In Northern California, there is fog in the morning. As I write this, looking out my window, I know that the mountains and the trees, the grasses and the sky remain hidden in the fog, but I cannot see them with my eyes. Instead, I feel their presence in my body. I know the shapes that lie behind the fog for having seen them, watched them emerge again and again. It is a primitive kind of faith based on repetition and proof, but a kind of faith that the fog will indeed lift. Slowly, as the sun warms the earth, the fog begins to clear. And as it does, outlines appear, colors, textures, and finally the sky and the sun are quietly revealed, and I can see them all. This is prayer. This is deep, faithful listening, waiting for what is hidden to be revealed. Prayer is not words. Prayer is what happens to when you listen and wait beneath the words for the outline of heaven to emerge. Isn't that lovely? I just think it's beautiful. Knowing what we teach here at Unity, that heaven is a state of consciousness, waiting for heaven to emerge even has more relevance, I think, for us. Waiting for that state of consciousness, that wonderful high state of consciousness to emerge. He goes on in the next paragraph to address what I think is a common human condition, that as we sit and we listen for that inner voice, that kind of we picture sort of a kind of space. We're not always in this space. Hear what he says. Every day there are moments when I find myself drawn to pray. I pray because I must, because regardless of my good intentions, I lose my bearings. I make mistakes. I am stopped by the way the world challenges and confounds my plans. When a loved one is beset by illness, ache, or fear, I pray their healing may be deep and true. When I feel suddenly lost or lonely, I pray for the comfort of a nourishing spirit that will teach me, show me the way. At other times, my prayer is filled with gratefulness for the numberless blessings showered on my life. In these moments, my prayer is astonishingly simple. Thank you. Prayer is all of that. Prayer is listening, sitting and listening, but it is also all those other things. It is moving our attention, our energy, from that place to people or situations, places that we want to see better. So what do we do? You know, if we want to pray, what do we do? Well, I think, again, to focus on stillness, that inner voice, that's foundational. That's what we have to to use to do all those other kinds of prayers too, to be that friend, that light that we talk about all the time. We have to have that place of stillness, connect with that. To live guided by Spirit, we have to come from that foundation. So today we are going to talk about that foundation, that stillness place, listening. And I want to ask, who are we listening to? I was married to a Texan for 17 years, and we had some good times and had some not so good times, but it was interesting because I noticed not too long into the marriage that, I mean, Jimmy had been living in St. Louis for quite a few years when we married, and we would go to Texas and be around his family, and that Southern accent deepened like you wouldn't believe, you know. it's wow. So he talked differently, you know, when he was around people that talked like that. And then, about 9 years into the marriage, I got moved. I was at the phone company, and I got moved into the training group. And I took a class on becoming an instructor. And they video recorded me. It was probably the first time I'd ever seen myself on, which is always a shock, I'll tell you what. And I heard myself. And I thought, when did I get that Southern accent? So being around him all that time affected my speech. You know, I was born in Illinois, raised in St. Louis, for heaven's sakes, you know. I'm saying y'all, and I'm fixing to do this, and I'm doing the best of them, you know. And it pointed out to me how we are influenced by what we hear around us, you know. And accents are one thing, but there's more. Probably most of us have noticed that we have our circle of social friends, people that we like to hang out with, and we hang out with them because they're a lot like us in many ways. Maybe not everything, but, you know. And so when we are around them, just like the accent deepens, you know, those things that we share in common seem to deepen. You know? We're hearing those traits and characteristics and so forth that are in sync, that are like each other. Facebook friends. Most of my Facebook friends are of similar thinking to me. And sometimes it's a surprise when I see a post come through that is very, very different from what I believe, you know. And it kind of sets me back. I forget, you know, that there's a whole other world out there because I'm seeing all these people that are my friends and they're like me. What are we listening to? We are influenced, so influenced by this. We can get to the point where that's right. This that's like me is right. That out there, that's different. That's wrong. Did you ever do that? Yeah, I have. We are greatly influenced by what we are exposed to. Think about advertising. There was a commercial on not long ago, and it caught my awareness, my observation awareness, because I'm seeing these people and they're, you know, it's kind of like whitewater rafting and they're hiking in a beautiful forest and they're living the life, you know, and I thought, good God, what are they selling? And I believe it was some kind of medicine, I don't remember now what it was, so what are they trying to get you to do? They're trying to get you to believe that if you take this product or use this product or have this product, then you too will white water raft or go in beautiful, you know? It's what advertising is based on. And if we're not aware of what we're listening to, of what's getting in, we may be influenced. We probably will be, but if we observe, it can be helpful. Beer commercials. I love those because if you watch the beer commercials, if you drink a certain beer, you know, pick one, Then you will be able to join the what do they call them, the tailgate parties, and you will dance, and you can sing, and you'll have friends. You just have to drink that beer. Oh, well, there's that. There's that. So I'm kind of exaggerating to make a point, but it is true. You know, we are bombarded all the time with these influences, these things that we hear, that we're listening to it to, and maybe not even consciously. Now, I ask you, if we want to be guided by Spirit, what do we want to listen to? Some of that's going to be there, but we may need to have our internal dial set somewhere else. And how do we do that? How do we do that? In Mark chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. A familiar passage, probably. And on one level, we read about Jesus and three of his disciples going up the mountain to pray. And he was transfigured. On a metaphysical level, though, it's even richer, I think. Jesus, of course, represents the Christ. And going up the mountain represents going to a higher consciousness. And how do you do that? You pray. You listen for that still, small voice. So, go up the mountain, you pray. Peter, James, and John are the disciples that represent faith and wisdom and love. And so as we go into listening for the inner voice with those abilities, those faculties present, heightened, you know, with attention on those, then we have the potential to be transfigured. White is that amazing representation of the light, of the purity, the spirit shining through us. And that's what we read about here. And that's what can happen when we lift our consciousness, particularly when we are being loving and faithful. I loved what he said about faith, that the fog is going to clear, and wise. So, we want to listen to that still, small voice. We want to be guided by Spirit. We want that experience of transfiguration, you know, as much as we can possibly get. We say often that we want to be the light. You know, we are Unity Church of Light. We often talk about being the light in the world. We want to be that purity, that spirit expressing. Well, what do we know about lights? They need a source. The power lines come into this building, but unless we turn that switch on, there will be no light. We too can be lights, but we have to have a source. We have to be nourished. We have to utilize a source, which is God, which is Spirit. So what do we do? If we want to do all this, we want to listen to the inner voice, if we want to be guided by Spirit, what are we to do? First of all, we are to go up the mountain. We are to go to a higher place in consciousness. Now, that can be sitting in stillness. That is one of a very effective way for me, and I think many people. And sometimes people have other ways of going up the mountain, other ways of connecting with that higher consciousness. The creative force is an amazing way. People who can play or sing, playing their instrument takes them to a different kind of consciousness, goes to that higher consciousness. Writing, creating, whatever you do to get to that higher place in consciousness, that's the first thing, is to go up the mountain. Second thing, do it regularly. If you see medicine commercials 3 times a day, 4 times a day, beer commercials 7 times a day, you know, whatever it is bombarding you. It stands to reason, in my opinion, that you don't have to be in prayer all the time, but it stands to reason to me that by having a regular practice of going up the mountain, that you will be able to be an observer of all this other stuff that is being offered to listen to. It will be the foundation that we want and need. So do it regularly. When you go up there, whatever it is, be still and listen. I liked what he said about being open and willing to just listen. Trust is a big one. And then let your inner voice guide you. When we have a practice of going up the mountain, look at Jesus. You know, Jesus went up, it says many times, Jesus went up to pray. Jesus went up, he did it very often, very regularly. And when we do that, then we can come back into life and still have that foundation and be able to act from that place of connection, that place of spirit. We can be guided by spirit in that way. So, prayer. We've looked at it, focused on it. This is the month that we are focusing on getting recruits, I guess, if you will, for prayer chaplain program, where we've planned our training. That's happening in the middle of next month. Prayer has been a focus here, and World Day of Prayer, you know, not a second by any means. This has been a month focusing on prayer. Prayer will change your life. It is foundational. It is, for me, it has always been that thing that keeps me steady. Without prayer, I feel like I like the way I golf. Over here, and then over here, and then over here. Up there. I don't go there. Not very often, anyway. It's back and forth. So it will allow us to live from that foundation and experience amazing things. The good news is it's not hard. You'll hear me say probably often, there is no right or wrong way to pray, but what you will hear me say is there are more effective ways of praying. And so it isn't really hard. It isn't the certain words that you say. There are some that are more helpful, but it isn't really the words. There isn't any posture that you have to assume, you know, to be praying the right way. None of that. It's not hard. What is it? It is intention. What do you want? Do you want to be guided by spirit? It is willingness. It is setting aside time to connect, to be at one. It is finally then an allowing, trusting and allowing that inner voice to work in us and through us. Prayer is amazing. Let's take an opportunity now to practice it. As we do each week. So I would invite you to gently close your outer eyes. To allow your bodies to relax. Let your seat support you. Relax into the seat. Take a deep breath in. Hold for just a second. And release slowly. Allow your breathing to continue in this slow and deep way. It naturally relaxes the body. And it allows some of the chatter to be relegated to the back seat. Because as you are focusing on breathing in and out, breathing in deeply, releasing, expelling as much as you can, as you focus on that, your mind is stiller than normal. As you are breathing, do a quick mental scan and see if there's any place in your body that you're still holding tightness or tension or discomfort. And move your attention there. Breathing in relaxation and love, wholeness, and breathing out any and all discomfort. We are one with our Creator. Down at the DNA level, there really is little to no difference between any living thing. We are one. And as I've said before, this God, this Source, this Creator, universe, whatever we choose to call that, is in us, not as a raisin in a bun, but as an integral part of this thing we call our body. It is the truth of us. And as we do this, as we are doing right now, as we do this in our lives, we more and more feel that presence, that power, that love. We are more and more able to access wisdom. We are able to be a comfort either to ourselves or to others as we are abiding in that presence. And this is prayer. It is one form of prayer, a powerful and mighty form of prayer. We are still. We are one. We are whole. We are vibrant health. We are. We are love in expression. We are wisdom. Those things that we know that the Creator is, we are those when we are in sync with, aligned with the One. And we get, at the point of our being, we get to express that out into the world. So in this moment, on this day, let us sit for a few moments in that blessed silence, sacred silence, and be at one in the silence. God and I are one. And you might silently say that to yourself. God and I are one. We are so grateful for this awareness. We are so grateful that even in troubled times, that we can remember back to this time, remember back to the awareness of our oneness, to once again get in connection with, in communion with, that God, that source, and find our equilibrium. We are grateful to know this truth. We are grateful to be able to practice it, to express as best we know how, and as we are learning to do more and more, the Christ in us. We follow the teachings of Jesus the Christ. We believe and we intend to do the things that he has told us we can do. These things shall you do, and greater things will you do. We are willing. We are one. Let us complete this time of contemplation, of meditation, by joining together in the words that Jesus taught us as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.